So now we're told that we have only 2 more weeks before the longest shutdown in American history might find itself relegated to old news as our infant-in-chief forgoes the frustrating task of building a legislative majority to fulfill his campaign promises. That is, by working with America's co-equal congressional branch of government, as every other president has had to do, in this case, to accomplish his silly boondoggle of a wall across our entire southern border. But of course, we have all known all too long that Mr. Trump is not, shall we say, a student of the learned arts, whether of the natural science sort, when faced with understanding an issue like climate change, or of the social science sort, when faced with all those complications associated with passing legislation, a process even the great 19th century statesman Bismarck reminded us was not a pretty sight, so similar as it is, he claimed, to making sausage, which of course makes Trump's administrative challenges all the greater, especially given that until less than a month ago, the fellow had been consistently enabled by congressional Republicans who'd forgotten their constitutional role as members of a co-equal branch of government. But of course, times have changed, and no wonder Speaker Pelosi so easily handed him his first big humiliation. After all, we're not talking about a real business tycoon who had spent a career working with an independent board of directors. Now the congenital bully just decided to plow ahead, forcing the issue, claiming somehow that he had a mandate by a virtue of the 2006 election to build his silly wall, when the opposite is more true. Indeed, the Electoral College victory certainly gave Trump the right to occupy the White House. But having seen the national vote of the American people dramatically reject his election, no claim of a mandate for any particular policy can be assumed, and certainly not for a wall that makes no sense for reasons from construction to legality, from finances to likely effectiveness, and especially so as the vast majority of Americans and those who actually live along the border oppose it so vehemently. But while Trump's wall is never going to be built, we cannot dismiss the broader issue that has long been appreciated by all American leaders, the simple fact that border security really is a vital issue, not more on the southern border than anywhere else, of course. Indeed, America, like all countries, needs to control its borders, control who and what arrives, whether it's through an airport, a harbor, or land borders, even as we need to efficiently process those who arrive as economic refugees or legally welcome asylum seekers with genuine fears of oppression, to determine which among them deserves admittance in an orderly fashion, which takes money. Money to hire judges to decide who has the right to stay and who should be deported in a reasonably timely fashion. Fencing and more staffing when reasonable. Tracking of those who overstay their visas. All security efforts in need of real money of the sort that Mr. Trump wants to waste on his absurd wall. And in the case of those from Central America's northern triangle of violence, real border security means using our resources to help stabilize the situation in Central America, a region our own myriad sins have helped to disrupt, to strengthen their economies and help reduce the level of violence enough that our southern neighbors won't desperately risk everything to find safety in the United States. Not forgetting that this problem is only going to grow worse as a destabilized global climate increasingly adds to the challenges of those who live to our south, putting more and more people in harm's way, making one of the most important things we can do for border security is to reinvigorate our efforts to confront the climate crisis, and especially so by helping our southern neighbors to build societies more resilient to the challenges of a ravaged environment, because border security in our new century begins not at home, but abroad.